وأيضا قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Dear brothers and sisters, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask every kind of help from Him. We realize that whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead them astray, and whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there's no one who can benefit them or guide them after that. We bear witness that there's none to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He is one and without any partners. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His obedient true slave, His messenger and His prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as He has blessed Ibrahim alayhi sallam and the people of Ibrahim alayhi sallam. Innaka hamidun majid. O Allah, exalt Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even as You have exalted Ibrahim alayhi sallam and the people of Ibrahim alayhi sallam. Innaka hamidun majid. I remind you and I remind myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. I remind you that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most stingy of those who mention me are those who mention me and they do not send salawat upon me. So I advise all the brothers and sisters that whenever we think of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we say the Prophet or Rasulullah or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we mean the Messenger of Allah, that we send salutations upon him, send salutations upon his family and upon his companions and all those people who preserve the Sunnah up until the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, our discussion today is to give nasiha to the Muslim youth. This is our discussion today. And for the young Muslims, I don't want you to think that I'm talking at you. And I'm not talking necessarily about you, but I'm speaking with you. And I'm speaking to you as a person that has a relationship with you. I'm not talking to you as an old head, as you might call your fathers and some others, somebody who's out of touch, who don't know what's going on. I'm talking to you about somebody who knows exactly what you do, how you feel, how you think. And in the course of my conversation, I want to keep it real with you. I want to make it straight and clear with you. So I'm not going to quote a lot of ahadiths. And when I do, I try to make it simple, short. I won't give you a lot of ayats of Quran because you can't handle it. But I'm going to try to talk common sense to you, try to talk to you as your older brother. Because the life that you live in is a reality. And where you're headed is a reality. And it's a matter of the choices that you make where you're going to wind up at. This is what we want to talk about. Your life, which is a reality, and where you're headed, which is also a reality, and where you're going to wind up at, which is also a reality. All of it involves choices and challenges. So this is the nature of our talk today. Challenges and choices facing the Muslim youth. The first challenge and choice that you have to make is to be Muslim. Now, I know you're born Muslim. That's not what I mean. Not that your name is a Muslim, not that you live in a Muslim house, not that you have a Muslim family, but what's in your heart. Not what's on your tongue, not the language you speak, what's in your heart. How you act when you're around them kafirs, how do you act? When you hit those streets, how do you act? How do you think? How do you feel? That's what you really are. What you are when you're by yourself, how you think, how you feel, and how you act, that's who you really are. Now the choice you have to make is your choice, and we're going to talk about the choices. As regard to the Islamic faith, it's either a matter of faith or immorality or disobedience. Ain't no gray areas. It's just like a woman is not almost pregnant. Either she's pregnant or she's not. Water is not almost wet. It's either you're wet or you're not. Either you're Muslim or you're not. Again, we're not talking about the tongue or the name or your family. We're talking about how you feel, how you think, and how you act. When we talk about faith, we mean faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is having a bond with Allah. A bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you hear the Quran, how do you respond to the Quran? When you hear that jungle music, I know how you feel. I know how you respond to it. That jungle music, you know what I'm talking about. The music for the apes and the monkeys and the dogs and the animals. That jungle music, how it makes you feel, how it makes you act, how it makes you think, how you respond to that. My question is for you. Don't answer the question. Answer yourself. When you hear the voice, when you hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in English or Arabic, how it makes you feel. How does it make you respond? How does it make you think? When the time for the salah comes, and you hear the adhan, or you know the adhan is called, or you know the time for the salah is there, how you act, how you think, how you feel. When you think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name is mentioned, or a hadith, or you know a sunnah, or you know what he told you to do, how you think, how you feel, how you act. This is a choice and a challenge that you have to make. Because every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every day that the sun rises and that you are alive, Allah is giving you the choice and putting that challenge in front of you to choose the trash or the treasure. And nothing else in between. The trash or the treasure. You know what the trash is. It's all around. It's free. All you got to do is plug in. It's free. It's there. You don't even have to pay for it. You hang with it. You see it. You feel it. You smell it. The trash is there. What about the treasure? How you feel? How you think? How you act? The next challenge is the challenge of Islamic knowledge. I know you're born Muslim. Your father's Muslim. You probably still at least know the Fatiha. Most young Muslims still know the Fatiha, even if you don't pray. Even if you forgot the rest of the Quran, you know the Fatiha. You know the Salah. Well, what kind of knowledge do you have about Islam? What kind of knowledge do you have? If someone asks you, a non-Muslim, one of your homeboys that you go to school with, kafirs that you call homeboys, when they ask you, Muhammad, Ahmed, Saleh, Abdul Rahim, what is Islam? What do you tell them? What can you tell them if you don't have any knowledge? How much Quran do you know? How much Quran can you explain? A verse? A surah? How much hadith can you recite? One hadith correctly, authentically, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you know the five pillars of Islam? Can you explain them to somebody? Do you know what our relationship is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is Allah? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's your job as a Muslim. That's your job as a Muslim. If somebody asks you your address, you know it. Somebody asks you who's your father, you know. If somebody asks you who's the top football players, you know. What's the top 10 songs? You know. All the things about the dunya, you know. You can call it straight out and compete with each other about knowing it. But what do you know about Islam? And what do you know about the Quran? And what do you know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the treasure. Then it's the issue of your identity. Who are you? Who are you really? Are you Abdul Wali or are you Willie? Now there's a difference now. Willie is Abdul Wali who acts like a kafir. That's Willie. Or Ricky. Or Bobby. Abdul Rabb. Who acts like a kafir, but he's a Muslim. That's Bobby, Abdul Rabb. Who are you? When you're with those kafirs in the street and they pass that spliff to you, who are you? Oh, you don't know what a spliff is. What do you call it here? A joint? Spliff? When they pass that stick to you, or that glass pipe to you, or that bottle to you, when they pass it, what they call you? Or what do you call yourself? When you walk around in the streets out there, how you dress? Who you dressing like? When you put your clothes on, are you dressing as a Muslim? Or are you dressing basically so that when you hit that jungle out there, you can blend in with what the trash that's out there? Because that's what everybody has to do. If you're walking in the jungle, most people want to blend in with the jungle. The jungle wear, you know the jungle wear, monkey suits, donkey suits, gorilla suits, animal suits. Why? Because you don't want to be blending in with the other animals who's acting like animals, and then somebody going to ask you, Abdullah, what you doing drinking? Abdullah, you get high? Abdullah, why are you in this party? So in order not to be known as a Muslim, what do you have to do? You got to disguise yourself. And once you disguise yourself, you lose yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us in the Quran, He said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, young Muslims. Listen well. He said, O you who believe, O you who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you who believe, be mindful of Allah, think of Allah, fear Allah, and look about what you send forward for yourselves on tomorrow. Think. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see and knows very well exactly what you do. And do not be like those who forgot about Allah. So He caused them to forget about themselves. Subhanallah. How the people forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He didn't forget their name. They didn't forget the name of Allah. You all know Allah. You know some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means you forgot the orders of Allah. You forgot the commandments of Allah. You forgot your duties to Allah. So when you forgot your duty to Allah, the commandments of Allah, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah caused you to forget yourself. Forgetting yourself means you lost your identity. You lost your way. You lost your heritage, your legacy. You lost yourself. He says, and do not be like those who forgot about Allah, so that Allah then caused them to forget about themselves. And so they became what? Fasiqeen. What is fasiqeen? Fasiqeen is the disobedient, the rebellious, the criminals. They became disobedient, they became rebellious, and as a result of that, they entered criminal conduct, criminal demeanor, criminal posture, criminal reputation. It comes through association, as the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, you will know a man by his friends, and you will be raised up with your friends. So if your homeboy, the people that you hang with all day long, on the corners, in the hallways, in their house or your house, in the backyard, riding around in the cars, in the streets, if those are the people that you hang with every day, those are your friends. That's your life. You think, act, feel like they do. And you will be raised on the day of judgment with them. Those will be the ones you will be raised with. Or, on the other hand, what are your role models? Who are your role models? Puff Daddy? Master P? Biggie Smalls, Tupac, the last two is dead, double dead. I mean, they were dead before they died, now they're dead again. The other two I just mentioned, they are alive, that is, you can see them and hear them, but they brain dead. Those are your role models? That's who you want to dress like? That's who you want to be like? Puff Daddy? Master P, 8 Ball, that's who you want to dress like? That's who you want to listen to? They're going to beckon you to the hellfire. They're going to beckon you to destruction and disgrace. They're calling you away from your deen, calling you out of your name, calling you out of your identity, calling you to fornication, calling you to adultery, calling you to filth, calling you away from your legacy and your identity as a Muslim. Dear brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters, what I want to talk to you about today, I want to take you from zero to hero. That's what we want to be, Muslims. We want to be heroes. We don't want to be a zero. A zero means worth nothing, know nothing, will be nothing, and got nothing coming on the day of judgment but wrath. Zero. A hero. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us who the hero is. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Successful will be the believers. Why? Because they are heroes. They're heroes to themselves and also to their families. On the day of judgment, Allah will raise them as heroes. Martyrs, scholars, people whom Allah loves. And this is what we want to talk about. And anybody can start out as a zero and wind up as a hero if he fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he make the right choices. Even a stumbling, mumbling, fumbling man can turn into a hero, because stumbling blocks can be turned into stepping stones. The same thing you stumble over, you can turn it into a stepping stone. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of meeting the challenge. It's about making the correct decision. We're talking again about leaving the trash, holding on to the treasure. You young Muslims, you were born with the treasure in your mouth. You were born with the treasure in your heart. You were born with the treasure in your minds. What's the treasure? The treasure is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's the treasure? What's the treasure? Muhammad Rasulullah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من قال لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله دخل الجنة. What do you mean by that? Not just by the statement لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, but by the feeling in the heart, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying to yourself لا إله إلا الله, thinking about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and feeling it in the heart and wanting to be a Muslim and being grateful of being a Muslim and preserving the right to be a Muslim. The person who has that feeling, Allah will protect them, Allah will forgive them, and Allah will also give them His mercy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter, allow them to enter His Jannah. Dear young Muslims, what's the alternative to faith and knowledge and correct identity? What's the alternative? I'll tell you what the alternatives are. The alternative of responding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to a shaitan. See, the dunya itself has its own da'wah. The dunya, the world, got its own voice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to you and me, O you who believe, istajibu lillah wa lirrasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O you who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when He calls you to that which gives you life. What kind of life? Dignity, decency, honesty, power, responsibility, respect. That's life. Don't, He said, Ya Bani Adam, Allah ta'budu Ya Bani Adam, Allah ta'budu shaytan وعن بدوني هذا الصراط المستقيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Bani Adam, did I not warn you not to worship shaitan, that he is to you aduwwun mubin? وعن بدوني, but only worship me, هذا الصراط المستقيم, and that this is the correct way. What does it mean to worship shaitan? Does it mean to go to a building that says the masjid of shaitan? No. Does it mean to have an idol, a statue that says shaitan? No. Does it mean to bow down to shaitan? No. It means responding to the voice and the call of shaitan. Let's talk about the voice and the call of shaitan. The first voice of shaitan is the music. Now let's not get into, well, is there some music that's halal? Let's not get into whether you can listen to good beats that's called nasheed and some other foolishness. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about music itself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never listened to it. Did not allow his companions to listen to it. Told us that we should not listen to it. That it leads us to foolishness, lewdness, rebellion, immorality. It diverts us from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let's talk about the kind of music. We're not even talking about some classical music. We're not talking about just some drums and whistles and beats. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the stuff that you brothers are looking at, these brothers and sisters are looking at on TV in them videos. Straight up XXX music, just like porno movies, no different. The music that the young people are looking at today, listening at today, is porno music. The parents that allow them to watch it at home is giving their children porno music. Because the women is naked and the men is naked, and they suggested naked things and filthy things, and they even doing it in the movies, in the videos. So now, what is this music? This is the devil's dua. When they singing it, when they dancing it, they memorizing it and rapping it, they making the dua to the devil, and the devil answers them. What does the music lead to? The music leads you to the places where others listen to it and dance to it. Because you ain't going to be listening to no music and don't go to the places where people listen to it and dance to it. You know that. You know you ain't gonna be hitting no beats and singing no beats and doing no rapping. You ain't going to be around them girls. And the girls ain't going to be doing no wiggling and jiggling and fly blowing and all the other kind of dances they be doing, butterfly and all that foolishness. They're not going to be doing all of that. And no boys not around. So what that lead to? What the music lead to? It leads you to fahshai and munkar. The girls and the boys in the dancing and the singing is doing everything but the pen going in the cup. The punishment in Islam, just in case you brothers don't know, those of you who already robbed somebody, those of you who looking to rob somebody, let me tell you how Islam looks at that. See, here, it might only mean 2-3 years in jail. But in Islam, robbery, armed robbery, the sentence for that is death. That's what it is. That's what you're playing with. You're playing with death. Don't think that you're trying to get 50 pounds. Don't think you're robbing somebody for some drugs. You're playing with death. And even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let you escape, that is, you only get caught by these kafirs, and you go to one of these jails and get 2-3 years, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you still gonna pay for the sin and the crime of robbery. And all of this here leads you inevitably, the music and the drugs and the alcohol and the guns and wanting to rob and the clothes and all that, what that leads you to? That leads you to fornication. You ain't trying to get married. You don't want to marry none of them. You don't want to marry none of those girls. Those girls that's doing all of what they're doing, they're doing the same thing with you. They're doing to all them other guys. You don't want them, and they don't really want you except for a minute. So what is that? Girls who want boys for a minute, and boys who want girls for a minute, without responsibility, they call it what? Free sex, they call it. Free love. It's free disease. Free AIDS. Free syphilis. Free gonorrhea. Free some other diseases that you don't even know the names of it. Free disgrace. This was free. That leads you into being antisocial and dysfunctional. That's why you're going to wear them pants hanging down on the floor with your belt all across your behind, looking like you're crazy. Why? Because you're making a statement that you antisocial. You can't get no job looking like that. How you going to go get a job? You don't get up in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. You don't get up 8 o'clock in the morning and put your belt on around your behind and go looking for a job. You don't even know how to go look for a job. You don't even know how to dress for a job. You don't even know how to ask for a job. You don't know how to fill out an application for a job. So that means what? You dysfunctional. You irresponsible. You can't pay no bills. You're 25 years old living with your mama, eating her Wheaties and cornflakes, drinking her milk, sneaking in the back door at night because you've been out all night long where you don't pay rent, don't make your bed, don't get up in the morning, don't pay no rent, don't pay no light, don't pay no phone, don't pay for no heat, can't pay for nothing because you can't get a job and you're 25 years old. A 25-year-old irresponsible bum. But you call yourself a gangster. I know you ain't no bums. Gangster. That's what you call you. I'm a gangster. I'm a player. That's another name for a derelict. A gangster, a player, is another name for a derelict. D-E-R-E-L-I-C-T. Derelict. That means a person who is shiftless, worthless, irresponsible, and untrustworthy. Y'all call it players and gangsters. Now, brothers and sisters, listen. All of this here, I'm just trying to tell you that it leads to, it all stems from and it leads to disobedience. Disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you're disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ain't going to be obedient to your parents. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the crime which is second to associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Disobedience to the parents. A man asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ayyu a'mal afdal? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Which action is the best, the most excellent? He said, As-salatu ala al-waqtiha. That's number one. Prayer in its proper time. What's the next one he said? Birru walidain. Respect for your two parents. And after that he said what? And thumma ayy. Then after that what next? He said jihad fi sabilillah. So we can just cancel out jihad fi sabilillah. You ain't gonna do that. You ain't making no prayer. So you definitely gonna disobey your parents. So when your parents say, get up and make salat. You can't make no salat if you've been smoking them spliffs all night. You may not get up until 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you want to make salat, you ain't going to get up. So all of this here leads to what? Shame and disobedience to the family. You disobey your mother, you disobey your father, you disobey the elders inside the masjid. And you don't even want to come inside the masjid, because when you come inside the masjid, somebody telling you where to sit. Somebody trying to tell you to pull up your clothes. Somebody trying to tell you go make wudu. Somebody telling you read Quran. You don't want to do none of that. So you just you go, when you look at the masjid, you go around all the way around that way. So you ain't got to even pass by the masjid. And this is what shaitan does. Shaitan make you ashamed of yourself, make your family ashamed of you, make you ashamed of being a Muslim. And the kafirs that you hang with, you think that because you don't act like a Muslim, and because you don't that you don't think like a Muslim, you don't talk like a Muslim, you think they respect you. No, they don't respect you. They disrespect you even more. You know what I'm talking about, brothers. The harder you try to be like them, they remind you you're not like them. You ain't one of us, man. You Muslim. But you are a hypocrite. They'll even remind you every now and then when they get angry with you. They say, you ain't even no real Muslim. I mean, what are you? You're supposed to be a Muslim. Muslims pray. I know what a mosque is. I should go around the mosque and tell them what you be doing. That's what they do when they get angry with you. All of this leads you to disobedience, disregard for the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inevitably it leading to you're going to land in four different places. First, it's going to land you in prison. If you keep headed the way you are, I'm not saying all of you, because probably most of you young brothers and sisters is good brothers and sisters, but there's a few of y'all in here. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you for coming up in here. And this might turn you around, might spin you around. This little advice here might help you out. A couple of y'all that's in here, y'all know that y'all right on the edge. Yesterday or the day before yesterday or last week, you did something, you know. Or you thinking about something tonight or tomorrow. But maybe you will think about it tonight and you will make tawbah. You come back to Allah, come back to yourself, come back to your parents, come back to the masjid, come back to your identity, come back to Islam. Because if you don't, I'm going to tell you where you're headed at. For the sisters who are disobedient, for the sisters who took off their clothes, sisters who left Islam, and the sisters who done left the salat and don't want to pray, don't want to act like a Muslim, you're headed for nothing but disgrace. You're going to be living in a garbage can from now on. Because everybody that meets you is going to treat you just like another English. Y'all know what they call them. Your dignity, sisters, your dignity is in your hijab, your identity. Your dignity is your family. Your dignity is Islam. Your dignity is your worship, your belief, your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's your dignity. When you leave your dignity, you're naked. You can put that little bun on top of your head, try to act like you halfway Muslim. You can put a little scarf on with them little tight jeans on, like you covering up something. You can go to them little clubs and be ducking all down and everything, but everybody know what the deal is. You gonna be Muslim, or you gonna be one of them female animals? And once them young boys, whether they Muslims or otherwise, find out that you got no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of them young kufas, them kafirs, find out that you don't have no concern about your family, no concern about this deen, they don't care nothing about that little scarf you got on your head, that's coming off. They don't care nothing about your name being Fatima, Salima, or whatever it is. They don't care nothing about that. You know exactly what I'm saying. It might already have happened. The goods might already be damaged. Because this is the real world you're living out here. This is no plaything. Sis, if you go out here without your hijab on, you go out there hanging out with these kafirs, these kafir girls, hanging out in these places, you want to do a little shake, a little dance, you want to get on them little lights and hear a little tune or whatever it is, they're going to get you. After that, you feel disgraced. You feel ashamed. Now you don't know how to get back. And then some of y'all wind up, you made a mistake, you can't even get it back, now you're pregnant. What you going to do now? Now you got to go to one of them clinics. You can't tell your family about it. So what you got to do now? You got to go to one of them clinics, get an abortion. You got to kill a baby. Now you got murder on your hands. You done killed somebody. First you went out and disgraced yourself. Now you got to kill somebody. Or kill a baby, that is. If you don't kill the baby, now what you do? You bring the baby home. What is it? It's a bastard. A little sweet, pretty little bastard. Now that's not a curse. It's a curse what you did, but the word is not a curse. It's in the dictionary. That's what it is. It's an illegitimate child. It's a child that's born out of wedlock. Isn't that the definition of it? Now sure, your mother and your father, they're going to get attached to the little baby. They're going to feed the baby and raise the baby up for you and all that, but you done brought shame home. And this is what's happening to our young girls. And this is what's happening to the young brothers. And the young brothers the same way, they're not getting pregnant, but they impregnate. They hitting and jumping out somewhere. See, all of this comes about from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see, the young brothers, the young sisters, they're not going to prison, most of them, because they're not going to go, they're not going to rob nobody, the sisters. The sisters is going to wind up in a prison of disgrace, living with a kafir, raising a little baby kafir, living like a kafir. So they living in a prison of disgrace. But the young brothers who want to sell drugs, want to rob people, you're going to wind up, brother, in a prison of disgrace, or you wind up in prison. And if prison ain't enough for you, you're going to wind up in the hospital. And if that ain't enough for you, eventually you're going to wind up dead, in the grave, disgraced, punished in the grave. And then when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you got some more fire coming to you. Now this is the choice that we have. The choice that you have, young Muslims, is to be young Muslims. Now let's talk about what it means to meet this challenge. Let me read you one little short hadith. A little short one, because I don't want to read no long one. Because I don't want nobody to leave. And I don't want nobody to get no attitude now, because I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Khalid. Don't get no attitude with me, because we just talking here. We just kicking it live. That's all we're doing. We just keeping it real. We just giving it back and forth so we can see what the picture looked like, so we can decide what we want to do. We can make a choice to either meet the challenge or go on down that road that you know where you're going to wind up at. That's all we want to talk about. And it's all your choice. There ain't going to be no twisting arms. Ain't nobody gonna point no fingers. Ain't nobody gonna blame nobody, call nobody no names. Because after this here, if Khalid see you in the street, all I'm gonna see you as a young Muslim. How you feel? Assalamu alaikum. What's going on? How you feel? You alright? Alhamdulillah, mashallah. I ain't gonna say, man, wasn't you at that meeting I taught at that day? No, I'm not gonna do that. Because it's a choice that you're gonna make yourself, especially those of you that's 13 years old and older. Now for those that's younger, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's your fathers and your older brothers, they're gonna guide you the right way. The elders and the moms, they're gonna guide you the right way. You just listen good what I'm saying. You that younger than 13. But those that's 13 and older, you better think real carefully about what I'm telling you tonight or this afternoon. Because if you don't listen to this, you ain't going to listen to nothing. Because your mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts and the elders here in the masjid, they ain't going to kick it like this. And when we get outside the masjid, I got something else to tell you I'm not even going to say here. See, because I got 11 children. I grew up in Brooklyn. Bed-Stuy, do or die. Y'all know Bed-Stuy. Harlem, New York. I ain't like no little. What is this area here called?
Pittsmore.
Huh?
Pittsmore.
Pittsmore. Man, this is like a Disneyland. Man, y'all think y'all some gangsters. I need to take a couple of y'all back to Brooklyn. So, I'm telling you, brothers, for real. Y'all got it sweet. You got a chance, really. My sons and daughters and other sons and other brothers and sisters that I've known for the last 20 years that I've raised up, they'll tell you what New York is for real. But brothers and sisters, let me just give you this little small hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'll just give it to you in English. His name was Sufyan ibn Abdullah. He was also known as Abdullah Abi Amra. He said, Ya Rasulullah, kulli sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kulli في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيره. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. A man asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, tell me something about Islam that I can ask of no one but you. Listen to what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him. He said, say I believe in Allah, and after that be upright. See, this is the main thing. Be prepared to say to whoever that you meet, I'm a Muslim. I'm a Muslim. And I don't do that. I'm a Muslim. I'm not into that. I don't do those things, man. I don't talk that way. Don't talk like that around me. Don't invite me to that. Or go about your way. Do what you do. I do what I do. I'm a decent Muslim. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm looking down the road at my future. I got respect for my family. I got respect for myself. When you see a kafir talking to a sister he ain't supposed to be, or a sister talking to a kafir, you're supposed to talk to them. Tell that kafir to step off. He'd be better off if he step off. Tell him that. That's my sister. Don't have to be your blood sister. It's a Muslim sister. Just tell that kafir, you'd be better off if you step off. And tell the sister, sister, you ain't got no fear of Allah? You got no respect for your family? You got no respect for yourself? Fear Allah, sis. And then go on about your business. That's all you can do. Because it's a free country out here, they call it. Free country. Free to do anything you want to do. Say, I believe in Allah. That means be straightforward Muslim. Don't hide Islam. Don't be no sideways Muslim. Don't be no Muslim in secret. Be straight up Muslim. Anybody ask you, tell them your name. Tell them your religion. Tell them about the religion. Invite them to it. And after that, have good conduct. The Prophet ﷺ said, I have been sent with what? To perfect good manners. To perfect good manners. The Prophet ﷺ said, in another hadith, very short one, first let me just talk about what do we do if we want to make the right choices. I'll give that hadith the last one before I leave. If we want to make the right choices, how do we do it? If we want to change our life, how do we do it? If we want to be a good Muslim, how do we do it? If we want to earn the mercy of Allah, how do we do it? If we want the forgiveness of Allah, how do we do it? We want respect, how do we do it? We want our dignity back, how do we do it? The first thing you need to do is, all of us, the old or the young, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu ibn Adam khata, wa khayru al-khata'in tawwabin." He said, all the children of Adam make mistakes. And the best of those that make mistakes are those who do what? They make tawbah, they come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ittaqillah haythu ma kuntum wa tabi'i sayya'a bil hasana tamhuha wa khaliqin nas bi khuluqin hasanin. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fear Allah, be mindful of Allah wherever you are. That means under all circumstances, in the school, on the job, in the street, in the masjid, at home, when you're by yourself, fear Allah, be mindful of Allah. But if you make a mistake, he said what? وَاتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ. Follow up a bad deed with a good one. تَمْهُهَا. That will cancel that bad deed out. The good deed will cancel out the good one, the bad one. Now he's not talking about kabair, because a good deed is not going to cancel out a kabair, a major sin. A major sin is only wiped out by what? Tawbah. You got to come back to Allah. You got to cry to Allah. You got to make 2 raka'ah. Ask Allah for repentance. Ask Him to change your life, change your heart, change your mind, change your conduct. And then you got to swear to Allah and yourself, you're not going back that way no more. You can't make tawbah today and get up tomorrow and smoke another spliff, drink another bottle of wine, lay down with another girl, rob somebody else tomorrow, and make tawbah again. You can't do that. Allah doesn't accept that. He only accepts it when it has ikhlas, sincerity. So what do we do? First, make tawbah. Come back to Allah, young Muslims. Come back to Allah, older Muslims. Because here, everything I'm saying here, I'm not just really talking to the young people, because a lot of what I'm saying here, the young people are the way they are because there's people that's in this room here who have set a pattern for the young people. There's some older people that's in here that been here but been in the UK for 20 years. And the young boys saw them on the corners. The young boys saw them out there. The young boys see they got stores. They selling haram. They doing haram. They saw them as they was growing up and said, well, if my uncle did it, I can do it. If my father did it, I can do it. So many of the young people that's here is in the condition they in because the older people did it before they did it. So I don't want to be like I'm beating up on the young folks, because I'm not. I'm just in a ricochet. Ricochet, you know what that means. It just bounce off and come back to you. So there's many of us old heads, 50 years old, 45, 40, 35, 30. We doing, still doing some of the stuff I'm talking to about the young people. Still doing. But see, that's an old criminal. And that's an old fool. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the worst of fornicators and sinners is the old one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate an old fornicator more than he do a young one. Because an old fornicator, he ain't even got no real reason to be fornicating no more. He just fornicating because it's a habit. He ain't even got the fire no more. He got to find a way to do that. That means he's been doing it for a long time. So, young people, I understand that many of you fell into this situation, or you were led into this situation, or you were allowed into the situation. See, that's something wrong too. That your mothers and your fathers, they allowed you. Or you were led into it by an older brother or older sister or uncle. But nevertheless, you're responsible. And I'm telling you, you got to make tawbah. The way you want to correct yourself, go home and take a bath tonight. Because you're going to die tomorrow. One of these tomorrows, you thinking that you're going to wake up, you're going to die. Or one of these things that you're doing is wrong, somebody going to put a bullet in your head or a knife in your back. You're going to be stretched out. You ain't got no choice then. You're going right where you used to hang. And seek good company. If you make tawbah, you can't make tawbah and go back out in the same company. You can't do that. That's just like having dirty clothes on, taking a bath, and putting on the same dirty, stinking clothes. It don't make sense. You don't wear those clothes for a week. Now you decide to take a bath, and you go all clean and everything, put on the same clothes. Them clothes almost standing up without a hanger. Don't make sense. Make tawbah, and then after that, seek good company. Find a young Muslim that's praying. Find a young Muslim that at least he's talking right. A young Muslim that fear Allah, talking about Allah, talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Find a young Muslim like that to be with. In the school, look for a young Muslim, a decent young Muslim to hang with. Don't look for no fool. When you see them fools, avoid them. Find a young Muslim that believe in Allah, a decent young Muslim, a pious young Muslim, a knowledgeable young Muslim, a sensible young Muslim. Leave them Kafirs alone altogether. I'd hang out with a foolish Muslim before I hang out with a Kafir. A foolish Muslim, at least he's Muslim. A Kafir, he can't even lead you to the mosque. He ain't going to say, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah. Nothing. A foolish Muslim, every now and then, he's going to say Astaghfirullah. He's going to say, La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah. He's going to say Quran or something. But a Kafir, he ain't going to lead you to nothing but the trash. Next thing is, make up your mind to do something with your life. If you're in school, stay in school and be the best. If you're in school, stay in school and be the best. If you fail in school, you're going to fail the rest of your life. I'm telling you right now. If you fail in school and that's all right, you're going to fail the rest of your life and you ain't going to get no job. They ain't hiring nobody. First of all, They people that's got college degrees can't get no job. That's right or wrong. There's people in here right now that's got a college degree that can't get a job. So now you know if you dropped out of grade school, you through. You dropped out of high school, you over. You ain't getting nothing. You got nothing coming to you. You're going to live in council houses. You're going to be on welfare the rest of your life. If you're in school, excel. Don't accept no D's and C's or 60s and 70s. A Muslim in school with these Kafirs is supposed to be at the top of his class. The Kafir is supposed to be asking the Muslim, listen, you got that homework? Can you help me out with the test? That's what the Kafir is supposed to ask the Muslim that, because the Muslim is supposed to be the best. Whatever he's doing, the Muslim is the best. Come back to your deen. Come back to the masjid. Come back to the deen. Come back to the masjid. That's what you got to do. Come back to this deen. This deen is where you're safe. Deen is where your dignity is at. Where it's decent. Where your reputation is going to be sound. Where you're going to get some knowledge and some guidance. Where you're going to be stabilized. Come back to the masjid. Because this is where you're going to come when you die. You're going to come back here anyway now. You're going to come back here while you're living, or you're going to come back here when you die. So you might as well come back. Come on back home. Come to the masjid. Come on in the masjid once a day and make salat. No matter what you're doing, come in the masjid, make your wudu, make salat. If you got to go make a ghusl, go home, make a ghusl, come to the masjid, make salat. Because if you keep coming to the masjid, making salat, what's going to happen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you enough ammunition to stop doing them sins you're doing. But if you say to yourself, well, since I'm committing sins, ain't no sense coming to the masjid, you're done then. Don't let no Muslim tell you, man, since you out there doing wrong, ain't no sense. I don't know why you coming to the mosque. You know, a Muslim might tell you that. Akhi, look, I know what you be doing, man. What you doing in the masjid? Tell them, I'm in the masjid doing the same thing you doing. Asking Allah for forgiveness, asking Allah for guidance, asking Allah to accept my prayer, asking Allah to make me strong so I can stop doing some of the stuff I'm doing, little by little, day by day. Because ain't none of you brothers and sisters that strong that you're going to stop doing all the stuff you're doing overnight. I didn't. I took shahada in 1964, the brother, he told you that. But the first time I prayed five times a day, I didn't care about no five times a day. I didn't even know the Muslims was really doing that until about 1968. But in those days, there were no masjids. There were no masjids like this. I heard that the Muslims were supposed to pray five times a day when I took shahada, but I didn't think nobody was really praying five times a day. I thought they was like making dua five times a day. But in 1968, I came and saw some brothers praying five times. I said, do you brothers get together like this every day? He looked at me like I was crazy. He said, how long you been Muslim? I said, about 5 years. They said, get together like this every day? I kid, we pray five times. I said, for real? Then it took me, after 1968, about 3 more years to get my salat together, mashallah. So what do you think from 1964 until 1972, what you think I was doing? I'm not going to make no confessions. But you know, if I know all the stuff I'm talking about, that I didn't stop doing it right away, so you know I know. So you ain't going to fool me now that we talk, we're going to talk a little bit outside too. So I'm telling you, you're not going to stop overnight. Yeah, but I don't think I can stop smoking no weed. I said, well, man, look, be Muslim, man. And just, you know, smoke a half a joint. Every day, just smoke a little less of that joint. See? And then after that, then smoke a joint every other day. And don't do it around nobody. Go way out somewhere by yourself. Like, walk about a mile away, somewhere in the dark, and smoke a half a joint and sneak it. Then put some eye drops in your eyes and some lifesavers and all that. Do all that. So what you're doing is you're building up in your mind that it's wrong. And so gradually, once you establish in your heart that it's wrong, then you're going to stop doing it. So I'm not telling the man to keep doing it. I didn't tell him to keep doing it. He said he didn't want to be Muslim and feel like a hypocrite. What did I tell him to do? Be Muslim. And then gradually stop doing what you're doing wrong. Because if you're Muslim, you're going to come to the prayer. You're going to read Quran. You're going to listen to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're going to be with the Muslims. You're going to fast during the month of Ramadan when it comes. So gradually what's going to happen is you're going to get the ammunition. You're going to get the strength day by day to stop doing some of the wrong that you're doing. But be Muslim. So I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, already Muslim, don't flip over overnight. Don't fool yourself. But start today. Come back to the deen. Give up the crime and give up the criminals. Change your image and change your role models. Change your image and change your role models. Correct your relationship with your parents. Don't wait for your parents to break down and cry and tell you they sorry, even though maybe they did something wrong. Don't wait for them to tell you they sorry. No. You are the one they fed. You are the one they raised. You are their child. You living in their house. You are the young person. You go to your mother and father and you cry and you tell them that you're sorry, and then you begin to correct your behavior and do something good for your parents. So if you don't do something good for your parents, you don't obey your parents, something going to happen to you. Like that young boy in Surah Al-Kahf. Y'all read Surah Al-Kahf? Read Surah Al-Kahf and see about that young boy who was disobedient and ungrateful and rebellious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah felt about that young man. Allah killed him, put him in the ground, just like that, and replaced him, and told his parents, told Musa alayhi salam to Khidr, that his parents would be more pleased with him. Don't be like him. Don't wait for something to happen to you because of your disrespect and disobedience to your parents. Correct your relationship with your parents. Correct your relationship with the Muslims. So you can walk past the masjid, stop in, and your head is up high. You ain't got to be ducking. You can be around this neighborhood and you take care of the neighborhood. And those criminals, those animals all around the neighborhood, disrespecting, breaking in, when they see you, they be ducking and dodging. Correct your relationship. Understand what it means to be decent. Understand what it means to be dignified. Respect. Those three words: decent, dignified, respect. Understand what that means, because if you don't know what it means, you way off. You way off. Understand that you are the future of Islam, you young Muslims. You are the future. All these old people and myself. Maybe I don't look as old because I got that henna in my beard. The Prophet liked that, subhanAllah. He liked the henna, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if I didn't have that henna, I'd be just as white as some of the other Muslims in here. I put that henna in here so you young boys don't push up on me. Yeah. Understand, you young brothers and sisters, you are the future. 20 years from now, Brother Khalid won't be here. Some of these old brothers won't be here. Some of the young brothers will be here, be the imams and be the leaders. And y'all be in the front rank, taking over. Take this whole neighborhood over. But all these young Muslims in this neighborhood, if y'all were soldiers, y'all come back to this deen, you take this whole area. This whole area. I ain't talking about no little complex. I'm talking about the whole area. Spittle Hill, Spitmore, Pittsmore, whatever it is. Take over this whole town. All these young Muslims on this side of town, another side of town, you take the whole place over. Because nobody can do nothing with a Muslim if he's straight. They get this town to us, this little bean town. This is a little bean town. This ain't even no big city. If the Muslims in this city stood up and did what they're supposed to do and identify themselves and establish this deen and establish this dawah, you young Muslims here, you could give 100 shahadas next week and 100 shahadas every week after that. After you start giving shahadas all around here, all the young brothers that have wives and all the young sisters that have husbands, all these non-Muslims around here, they would know what Islam is. Even if they didn't accept Islam, they would know what it is. Correct your relationship with your parents. Understand what is decent, dignified, and respectful. Understand that you are the future of Islam. Prepare yourself to be productive and responsible. Prepare yourselves to take your place in the society. Don't prepare yourselves to be holding up no buildings. Prepare yourselves to be responsible. Take your place in the society. Take your place in the Muslim community. Become responsible. Be young men. Be young women. Be dignified. Be strong. Be soldiers. Oh, young Muslims, remember I told you, my advice might be a little bit harsh to a certain extent, but the best deal comes from the hottest fire. I'm talking to you because I love you, because I'm concerned about you. That's why I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you because I see myself right there. I see my own children, my nephews, right there. I'm talking to you because I want to see you start from a zero to a hero. I want to see you get past those stumbling blocks and make them into stepping stones. I want to see you move from and give up the trash and take hold of that treasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. What's the treasure? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. O young Muslims, be soldiers for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be soldiers for shaitan. Be soldiers for Allah. Respect yourself. Respect Islam. Respect your community. Respect it. Respect your family. O young Muslims, meet the challenge. Make the right choices. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and to guide you. We ask Allah to give you strength. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer your dua. We ask Allah to bless your families. We ask Allah to bless the masjid and give strength to the imam and all the young brothers around who are setting the right examples. We ask Allah to bless and guide all the young brothers and sisters who are striving to keep this deen clean. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them faith and Allah to give them knowledge. We ask Allah to make their identity strong. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call the young brothers and sisters back to this masjid so you got to build a bigger one from the ground up. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He join all our hearts in love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Islamic Teaching Institute can become instrumental to bind with Masjid Taqwa so we can get all these young Muslims, build them up, make them into soldiers, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we create 50,000 Muslims in the city of Sheffield in the next 10 years. 50,000. Yeah, what they do with us then.
Yeah, the sister says again, assalamu alaikum, and she says, brother, do you think that giving teenagers the freedom, access to internet, TV, and all the things like it is wrong?
Yeah, I will answer this question very straightforward. I'll say this, that if a parent wants to kill his children, the easiest way is just leave a loaded gun on the table and let them play with it. Sooner or later, they will blow their brains out. The other way that you can do it is just leave them in the house with the internet and the television. They will burn their brains out. Burning the brains out is slower, so it's a slower death. So if a parent allows their children to watch television without any supervision, if a parent allows their children just to go on the internet and use it without any restrictions, then that parent is going to come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being irresponsible and for contributing towards fahsha and munkar. Because if your son or daughter watches 4 hours of television a day, only 4 hours, I'll give you the statistics. Only 4 hours a day in the course of a year, they have watched 73,000 acts of fahshai and munkar, including fornication, adultery, murder, slander, drinking, drugging, all kinds of foul actions that they saw on TV. Now, so if you just want to let your children do that, that's up to you. But no, you shouldn't. It's wrong. The parents need to take control of those televisions, and the parents need to restrict the children's use of the internet, because the parents should know that even those of us who are careful, every time I go in and check my email, I got about 30 or 40 emails, and 20 of them, y'all know what it is, I can't even stop it. Sometimes I'm trying to delete the email and it just pop up anyway. You know what I'm talking about. You can't stop it. The pornography. You can't even stop it. You don't even have to ask for it.
Yeah. Again, another sister says, brother, if you are friends with someone who does not do anything like drugs or alcohol but are not Muslims, is it wrong to be friends with them?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your friends are none other than Allah, His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believers. We don't have no kafir friends. Ain't no such thing as a kafir friend. Ain't no such thing as a kafir friend. That's like a good snake. That's like sweet poison. It don't even exist. Oh, I didn't say you couldn't have decent relationships with non-Muslims. You can have a decent relationship with business, academic, going to school, neighbors, co-workers, you know, colleagues in the school or whatever, yeah, you can have a decent relationship, but not intimacy, not friendship. We don't trust, and we don't enter into friendships of reliability, because what you'll do then is you will start to absorb some of their values, because you will believe that you trust them and that they trust you. No, we don't have no Catholic friends, especially sisters. Be especially careful, sister, because you are more delicate, you are more sacred, you are more pure, you are more sensitive even than the brothers. So don't think to yourself that you got no Kaffir friends, because even an innocent Kaffir.
Again, this is another question from sisters. It says, are all small girls, are small girls allowed to play with small boys?
Well, you know, I think in a Muslim society, generally in a Muslim society where the children are affected by the morals of Islam and by the parents, there's no harm in boys and girls playing until they're the age of 7. But when they're the age of 7, the Prophet ﷺ said, even sisters and brothers, don't let them sleep together no more. They're sisters and brothers in the same house. So now we in America, we in UK now. UK, little kids going to school with drugs. Little kids going to school with, I saw a little kid on the other day on a bus stop with a cell phone. Little kids shooting people. Little kids stealing, cursing. Little kids talking about sex. They don't even know what it is, but they're talking about it. Dancing just like the people in the movies. So now think about it. A little young boy that your little Salima, little Fatima, she playing in the backyard with some little boy that's 7, some little yardie. He cursing, he filthy, he almost a criminal already. He talking to her like those little boys is talking on the video, because he done memorized the videos. Now imagine your little Fatima at his house. Now do you think that your little Fatima should be in the house with little Jojo? I don't think so. No, I say I would advise not. I would advise us to keep our young girls at home and keep them where you can see them. And let them, when them little Kappas come around, let them run away. Let them run back inside the house. Let them run away. Teach those young girls early that when the Kappas come around, they will run away. Because if they don't run away when they're young, they ain't going to run away when they're old.